Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicello. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicello.
Hi, and thanks for joining us on Answering the Call here on the new home at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and I'm really excited about our guest today because he is a Dominican priest, and that gives us a look into what it's like to be a priest of a religious order versus a diocesan priest. Father Scott Steinkirchner is the Associate Director for the Center of Dominican Studies at ODU here in Columbus. So first of all, I want to welcome you to Answering the Call, Father Scott.
Thank you.
I'm going to give a little background on my guest. Father Scott Steinkirchner is a native of Akron, Ohio. His mother was a former Lutheran who converted to Catholicism after she got married, and Father Scott and his siblings were raised Catholic, although it was primarily Mass on Sundays and Catholic education and sacramental preparation through CCD because he and his siblings attended public school in their growing up years. And from what I've learned about you, Father, it seems that faith was more important in those years for you maybe than for some of your other family members.
Yeah, I think so. I always I got the church thing. They didn't have to drag me as much, at least by high school. They didn't have to drag me kicking and screaming to church.
Were you involved in religious activities in high school level?
Yeah, I loved it. It started with the Boy Scouts, which is always kind of a, you know, faith-based, different churches sponsor that. But then I got into, we had a great youth choir. Those were back in the days with the guitar masses and sit right in the sanctuary. And it was fun. It let you feel like you had a place there, and it was my kind of music. And, you know, we could participate in Mass more fully. And so, you know, one thing led to another, and retreat programs and all, they just kept building on each other.
Okay, so faith was something good. Catholic faith was good. No particular callings at that point in your life?
No callings, because I really pictured myself. I come from a big family, five brothers and sisters, and I picture myself having my own six kids, and, you know, that's just what. Although my grandmother, who was Lutheran, used to always shake her finger at me, saying, "Don't you dare become a priest." And, you know, I'd say, "Grandma, don't worry, I'm not going to, but, you know, you're not warning my other brothers and sisters, so what?" I don't know.
It's something about grandmothers, I think.
That's right.
So you attended the University of Akron, where you studied first physics, and then you changed over to electrical engineering, where you began a career then in computer chip design. You were with Goodyear Aerospace for a year, and then you took another job way out in Salt Lake City, some 3,000 miles from home, and that's where I'd like to begin your story today, by telling us about an awakening that you had while you were out there as a young man of about 27 years old.
Wow, yeah. I moved out to Salt Lake City because I at least had one relative. My sister was there, and I moved in with her initially and then had my own place. And I really made a career there. It was a wonderful job designing computer chips. This is the 80s, and the computer industry is, you know, going crazy. And, you know, I had the condo also out in the Bay Area that the company got for me, and, you know, an expense account that I didn't have to worry about totaling my bills or anything. So it was nice, and I was really finally thinking of settling down. 27 years old, I've got the house, the two cars, you know, windsurfer, three sets of skis, two cars, including a convertible. You know, what's missing? Oh, time to settle down with the wife and the kids. And I was thinking and praying about really taking up with an old girlfriend of mine who's way back in Ohio. So, mm-hmm. You know, it takes some thinking and planning to do
that. Yes, good to bring her in on that one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But first I thought, no, I need to consult God first, because I don't want to, you know, lead her on if maybe, you know, she isn't the one for me. I was sure. But I check it with the big guy first. And in that prayer, it really started going a different direction. I mean, really surprising. Just God was telling me something else, like, well, maybe you should think about something really different. And it got to be so intense and so, like, I was sure, like, you know, it's not God speaking directly, but God makes can make God's self very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so sure that I actually just quit praying for a while. I mean, I quit praying because I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah, that wasn't what you were asking.
Yeah, I'm asking about should I marry Lisa? I'm not asking about changing my whole life and going in a completely different direction. Like, no, I thought about that long ago and I have a career. Thank you very much.
So what did you do? You stopped praying, kind of distracted yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I
stopped praying. Everything but.
Which is a little difficult because I was still, of course, working at the church out there. I was working in the RCIA program. So you still have to go to Mass. But you can go to Mass, you know, and like, how's the weather today? La, 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 la. I'm here, but I'm not really paying attention.
Well, we know how God works. And when you're not getting it, hello, McFly, he sends someone else in or something.
Right.
What did
knock,
he do
knock,
for
knock.
You that brought you to the next stage?
Well, I guess he gave me, first of all, the insight. My own storyline about myself has always been, I'm just very committed to truth. I mean, I just want to know. I just want to know. And here I caught myself going, do you really? you always tell yourself that. That was a story you'd been telling yourself. And apparently you don't. And more than that, isn't this like a sin?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to honestly say. And so I talked to the woman who was running the RCIA program about mm-hmm. it. And she was just wonderful. Nora Mancuso. And, she said, you know, the things you're talking about, I can't really help you with, but you're right. This is important and you need to pay attention. And she said, really, the only people in town that could really help you with this are outside of town up in the mountains. There was a Trappist monastery to the north.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, those monks, they talk to God. You go talk to the monks up there. And so I did. I took her advice, and I went up to the Trappist monastery and just met some wonderful, wise men who really helped me see what was going on.
And what did they help you discern? Did they help you discern that this was a true calling?
Yeah, and not just a true calling, because, of course, we all have a true calling. You know, and I thought my true calling was in lay ministry in the church. I mean, I'm a faithful member of the church. I'm working in the church. This is, you know, the way of the future,
sure.
More lay involvement in church. So I had found my call. And what they pointed out is, yeah, and that was then, but this is now. And God really seems to be calling you to something different.
Were you attracted to the Trappist monasteries?
I love their prayer. It had such a beauty. And the funny thing about the monastery there in Utah is, it's in Quonset huts. Do you know what a Quonset hut is? Those
mm-hmm.
metal buildings that are semi-cylindrical.
Oh, okay. Okay, sure.
Like the temporary shelter
right.
that they make on military bases.
Okay, right.
And they had built that long ago and never moved out of it. So in one sense, it's these ugly metal military buildings. But then, and their chapel is just one of those. But then they get inside and they start chanting the office. And it's just incredible, you know, the beauty of that prayer, the slow pace of it, side to side. And so the beauty of that.
And could you see yourself in that community? Is that where you're being drawn to?
Yeah, but that's what I couldn't. I was I'm a jet setter now, and I fly all over the world designing computers, and it's always a million things. And I thought, I love this slowing down, and I'd spend my weekends up there. But then I'd be like, but I couldn't stay in one place for the rest of my life. I just know me. I could not do that. And the guest master was a former abbot. So he'd been around and knew a lot of things. And he said, Scott, you're right. You could never stay in one place very long. I mean, my mind just, I like to move. I like the challenge of something different. So as beautiful as that prayer was, and as much as it fed me and that aspect of their life, I knew that that wasn't right for me, which made it even easier then to seek his advice about, so where? Because right. now he can be much more disinterested. He's not trying to talk me into coming there. He's really trying to help me see, well, so what are you really like and what's God really saying? And then he had a lot of great suggestions about right diocesan life wasn't right for me because I'm very much a community person as well. And not even working in a parish as a pastor, like accompanying people
mm-hmm.
week after week, year after year, but more the coming in to a situation where somebody really needs some help right now and to do what I can right now, or spreading the faith here. And then once it's spread, to move on and let somebody else cultivate those seeds.
Okay, so a religious order is where you're
being called. Yeah, a religious order. And one that was missionary, that would plant seeds and then move on, because it's that planting seeds and then letting go is what I really felt attracted to and called to. And he helped me see that very well.
Did you know at the time that the Dominicans is where you'd be headed, or did you look at other orders?
I'd never heard of the Dominicans. I had a friend who had joined the Congregation of the Blessed Sacrament, and they were the only religious I knew. And they were in town, but I knew, in knowing him and his order, I knew that order wasn't right for me. And so, you know, back then, this was before the web, they had this blue book, and the blue book had all the religious orders in, and, you know, what they did, what their ministries were, who to contact. And I did research, and, you know, these people do that. And it came down in the end to Franciscans, Dominicans, and Jesuits, one of the three of those.
And you chose, obviously, the Dominicans.
And I obviously chose the Dominicans. And it just came down, it just fit a lot better.
Then once you decided on that, you discerned that. Well, first of all, I always like to ask, what was the reaction of your family and your friends to this discernment for this young man who was out west, and now all of a sudden he's talking about joining the Dominicans?
Uh-huh. And I'll answer that. One other thing occurred to me about that. In the end, I could say, God absolutely told me, I want you to go join religious life.
Okay.
Very clear. And so I said, well, God, if you can be that clear, why don't you just tell me which order? And God left that part to me. And I never did understand, like, no, I don't want that responsibility, because if it's the wrong one, then it's my fault. So God wasn't so clear about that. But in the end, I really chose. I ended up, I'm in the perfect place for that.
And I know that. And we'll get into that more in this interview.
But then you had asked about, what did people say? Certainly a variety of reactions. But for my family, they were, shall we say, not in favor. They really didn't think it was right for me.
What were they concerned about? Why didn't they think it was right for you?
Well, my mother, being raised Lutheran, was very Catholic now, but never bought that whole celibate clergy thing. Mm-hmm. So that was always an issue. You know, she wanted my grandchildren. She wanted grandchildren from me. I said, Ma, you got five other kids that are giving you grandchildren. I want yours. That's half a life. And my father, a lot of it was, I had really won. I had the career already. You know, at 27, I was already making more money than I could count, and the sky's the limit.
Right.
And so I had won the American dream. And when I first told him I was vaguely thinking about this, it was a long distance phone call, and there was silence for a little bit at the other end. And then he said, well, it's your life. You can do any stupid thing you want with it. Oh, thanks for the support. Okay, got that.
and I think this is an important part of your journey, because not every priest or religious has the 100% backing of their family. Sad to say, but that's a reality. And I can relate to a little bit of that in my own conversion story. And so, but it is part of the journey. And I think what happens to us when we don't have the support of our family, when we decide to become Catholic or to pursue a vocation like this, I think it helps us to draw closer to God, and just trust him all the more. But I know it doesn't make it easy at that time. I assume in time they would come to embrace this vocation for you.
Right. And they did, but it took years for them really too. I think they were worried that I wouldn't be happy. I mean, bottom line, they just said, we can't see you happy at this. You seem so happy in the job and the career that you have now. Why would you throw that all away? Or another sister said, you know, I believe in God too, but really? I mean, really?
Yeah. I think the world has an issue with sacrifice.
But it really is true that it put me back on, all I could really answer was, I don't see how this is true either. I don't know why God's calling me. I don't seem to be the right kind of person. I'm not churchy enough. I cuss a whole lot. I have some bad habits. I don't know why God's calling me to this. But yeah, all I can say is I am sure that God is calling me here. So blame God, don't blame me.
Now, once you had discerned this Dominican order, where and how did you begin your formation?
I joined the Dominicans out west. We have four provinces. We divide the United States up into four regions. We call them provinces. Mm-hmm. And I decided to join the Dominicans out in the western province just because there's such a priest shortage in the west compared to the east. And I was already working out there. So I joined the western province and had my first year, which you call a novitiate, kind of, you know, religious boot camp, out in California in the Bay Area in Oakland. And then I started school out there.
Now, you didn't finish, though, out in the western province. Something happened that, why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, something, and we put that in quotes, something happened. Yeah, right before I was going to make solemn vows. So we make temporary profession for a few years. Are you sure? You know, it's kind of an engagement.
Right.
And we're both, though, we're still trying to decide. And in the end, I was sure, and they seemed sure, and I applied for solemn vows. And then 2 weeks before I was going to make my solemn vows, they said no.
Wow.
They changed their mind and just said, no, you got to go. And by the way, you have to go within at least 2 weeks, because the other people making solemn vows, that would be really awkward if you were still here. And, oh, well, I'll just uproot my whole life instantly then. And that was really, yeah, that was very hard to hear, because my heart was really given at that point.
It sounds like it.
You know, 2 weeks before you get married, you feel pretty married already. You feel like there's a commitment there. And also, in that year, my father had been diagnosed with cancer about 2 years before, so he was still struggling with that, but going down.
Mm-hmm.
It was clear that the end was getting closer. Surprised it had lasted. He had lasted this long too. So kind of everything was falling apart on me, and that again threw me really back on God. You know, God, what? You ruined my life. I remember praying, you ruined my life. I said yes to you. I trusted you. Well, now I'm free, right? I'm free. I tried this and it was wrong. I discerned this and apparently I was wrong. And the surprising message I got is that, no, I really do still want you to be a Dominican.
Well, let me just jump in by saying, we're just for our listeners who might be joining us, we're talking with Father Scott Steinkirchner, Dominican priest and associate director for the Center of Dominican Studies at ODU. And he's our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Since you're sitting across from me here in your Dominican habit, we know the story has a happy ending.
That's
you do
right.
Become an ordained.
Indeed.
Priest.
Yeah. Yeah. Short story is, although it never happens, you can actually just transfer provinces. We call it transfiliate, become a son of a different province. And nobody does that when they're in simple vows. You know, you do that after years because of whatever. But I really felt like I needed to be a Dominican still, and enough Dominicans still believed in me that they interceded with another province and said, hey, how about, I know this looks bad and this guy was voted out, but what do you think? And they decided to take a chance and let me give it a try.
You know, I think that's such a great example of how God removes the obstacles, you know, when things are, you know, in the path. And, you know, I think you had shared with me on the phone that that's not a very typical situation, but for all those doors to open right back up again and for you to be sitting here today as an ordained Dominican, obviously this was God's call for you, and obviously you did answer it. After your final vows, Father Scott, you were put on an international commission to look at where the Dominicans should be headed in the 21st century. And it was decided that there was a greater need for interreligious dialogue. And that's an area that was so appealing to you that you even went ahead with permission to pursue a PhD in interreligious dialogue at Boston College. And that role has really led you to some interesting worldwide assignments, including 7 months at a Tibetan monastery.
Yes. Yeah, that was fascinating.
I bet.
In Nepal, but a Tibetan monastery, because, of course, you can't study Tibetan Buddhism in Tibet.
Okay, so what, just real quick, what was that like?
Oh, it was so fascinating because Nepal is still in some ways a feudal society. So on a sociological level, I felt so close to like the early Dominicans who grew up in medieval times when there weren't really roads, there wasn't electricity, there isn't running water.
Mm.
This is a feudal society that comes by subsistence farming, and so I'm living in the middle of that. And
wow.
I can really understand our roots that way. And then this monastery where the belief system is so different. And I had spent years already studying it, but not living with people who really imbibe that belief system that's so different, but their day-to-day life was so similar to the Trappists who I did know up in Utah.
Isn't that interesting?
So this interesting combination of, wow, I've been here before, and this is so different.
You know, and it's so interesting how God brings things full circle. He does this in another way in your life, too, because your next international position was involved as promoting the religious order on the internet. So here God takes your previous education, your previous, you know, love and ability for the computers and puts you in this, you know, Dominican religious promoter on the internet position. And that also took you around the world as well. You've been to some pretty amazing places.
Oh, yeah. I've been just about everywhere, except I've not been to the Holy Land. And I've not been down under either. And yeah, it is funny that because in the end, nothing is wasted. And who would ever thought, you know, that those years designing computers weren't just a digression or something? No, they were now essential to the way that I serve the church.
Absolutely. And we see that as a common theme with our guests. Guest after guest will say the same thing, that something they thought was a wrong direction in the beginning turns out to be perfect, you know, perfect foundation for what they're doing later. And some of the places you've traveled, China, Africa.
China, I got to teach a course in China, teaching Western philosophy, Plato and Aristotle, and what does it mean to think and what's a human person, to people from all over Asia, a lot of them from Burma. So villagers from Burma, and I'm teaching in China and trying to teach them Western philosophy. It's quite the
wow
exchange of ideas.
Now, and teaching is a big part of the Dominican Order, of course, and you yourself had some teaching. You were a teacher at Fenwick High School in Chicago,
right.
Towards after your final vows and before your ordination.
Right.
You taught at St. Louis School of Theology and Ministry for 3 years. And then a year and a half ago, the position of Associate Director for the Center of Dominican Studies opened up at Ohio Dominican University here in Columbus, and you took that position. So what do you do over at ODU?
At ODU, I work on how to enhance our Catholic and Dominican identity. So both within the university, are we really living our Catholic faith the way we want to, the best way we can? But also, are we connected to the wider church? Are we connected to the church in Columbus? Are we connected to the Catholic Church throughout the world? Are we connected to the Dominicans around the world? And having a better connection, might that help the education of our students and help the community that we live in? So okay. All of those kind of issues are what I work on.
And what's the best part of that job over there at ODU for you?
The best part is we get in some fascinating speakers that can really help us in specific areas.
I just heard a commercial for a speaker coming your way very soon. A woman, and I can't remember her name.
Oh, Sister Pat Connick.
Yes.
Is coming tomorrow. Yeah, she's a wonderful scientist. And she's going to talk about, you know, we believe that God became incarnate. And we say, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, science can help us with that, like understanding, well, what would the kingdom on earth look like?
And right.
Taking our earth seriously and saying God's concerned with the here and now. So she's going to give, I'm sure, a wonderful talk about how our faith really matters to science and science should matter to faith.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, Father Scott, is that you wear sandals pretty much all year round.
Yes.
I mean, this is like one of the symbols of Father when you see him. Now, is that a part of Dominican spirituality?
No, as a matter of fact, I remember reading a treatise by Thomas Aquinas. I think he was joking, but he does a whole theology of why shoes are better than the sandals, and he's writing that against the Franciscan. So I think that, you know, joke theology back and forth. But for me, it's important just because we all have our faults and our growing areas, we say. And one of mine is that I can really step all over people. I can really be a bit too unfeeling and have my own agenda. And wearing sandals reminds me how I have to watch where I step. I'm not wearing big old clod stomping boots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing sandals. It slows me down and helps me pay attention.
I think that's a really neat neat symbol. And I think maybe I'll think about that in another 2 months when it's not so cold outside. In the few minutes we have left and for the benefit of our listeners, I'd like you to tell us what answering the call means to you.
Wow. Oh, yeah, in 2 minutes. Answering the call.
No, more like in 30 seconds.
Yeah. It means embracing the happiest your life can possibly be, because God knows what will really make me happy. And so answering the call is saying, yes, I want the best life I could possibly have, and that is with you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Father Scott, it's been such a joy having you in the studio, and I knew this time would fly by, which it did. Could you leave us, our listeners, with a final blessing?
Okay.
In true Dominican spirituality.
God, by the promise of Jesus, you sent the Holy Spirit to us to inspire us. Send your Holy Spirit now to your listeners. Incarnate the word in them. Let them hear your word for them, their call in your life. Give us clarity to see that and the courage to follow it. Help us all to be better Christians for the sake of bringing your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you, Father Scott Steinkirchner, for sharing your faith journey, your Dominican faith journey, which is, again, something different for our listeners, I think, today. So it's been a true blessing. I'm Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. I'm also a Catholic speaker and the author of 14 books for adults and young people, including Where Do Priests Come From, Where Do Sisters Come From, and Where Do Deacons Come From. And I invite you to visit my website, Elizabeth Ficicelli, for more on my books and speaking. And I hope you'll tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and Sunday at 4 for another edition of Answering the Call, when we'll be interviewing another priest, religious, deacon, brother or sister, and find out about their spiritual journeys and how God has called them, the different ways he calls them, whether it was a loud call, a soft call, how that person responded, and how he or she followed that call into the church. And is so inspiring on our own journeys as well. So I thank you again for listening, and we'll be back next week. God bless. Have a wonderful week.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.